After an epic playoff run in 2024, the Detroit Tigers have made an interesting offseason, making some interesting moves. Are they done, or is there more to it? Let's talk about it. Yes, welcome on in to First Pitch, your daily MLB recap. I'm Christian Rau. You can find me on Twitter at @FirstPitch_MLB. Here with my good old friend Troy Brock. Troy B. Baseball on the Twitter X machine, the sandbox of anything, I guess, these days. It's hard to tell if I like Twitter, if I don't like it these days. I really can't tell. It's such hiddenness when you get the good news. That's where I like the most things out of anything, Troy, is just getting like the updates, the passing bombs. I think that's why I'm still there. It's things for things like that. But other than that, that's where you can find us over on the pages. We're going to talk a little bit Detroit Tigers today. I think that'll be a fun episode. We're ringing in the new year. This is going to be the final show of 2024. And yeah, what better way to start with or end it with the Detroit Tigers, right? It's just one of those moments where we're sitting in a kind of a lull period. We talked about a lot of news. You and Lindsay talked about a lot of moves on yesterday's show. So if you haven't checked that out, please do so. Check it out on our YouTube page. And while you're there, click like and subscribe and all that good stuff. And then, Troy, I want to end off with a little icebreaker to shatter 2024 and head into 2025. I have a question for you that talks about the first half of the 2020 decade and then going into the second half of the 2020 decade. I'm going to get a bold take from you based on my question. I hope you'll like it. I think it'll be a fun one as we wrap up this year, the first year for First Pitch. So, Troy, let's dig into the Detroit Tigers here. Maybe I'll let you speak on this podcast. Maybe. Maybe you just sit there and look pretty. But what a season by the Detroit Tigers, obviously an epic second half run after being sellers at the trade deadline. Before we dive into the offseason, I think we have to give a nod to that 2024 run, what they did with the emergence of the bullpen, the chaos pitching, if you will. Take me through your thoughts. And obviously we got to cover the Tigers at one point together during the postseason. What was your takeaway from this team?
It was very unexpected to see them in the postseason, especially after the first half that they had. But they turned it around. They went into the All-Star break in fourth place in the American League Central. And 2.5 months and 39 wins later, they were tied for the second best record in the American League Central and held on tightly to the third and final wild card berth in the American League side of the bracket. And it was. I know I've said it multiple times in the life of this podcast since the postseason and in the offseason, but it was very, very reminiscent of the 2015 Houston Astros and what they did making the postseason, and then in 2016 missing the postseason, and then in 2017 winning it all. And we've yet to see if the Detroit Tigers can completely follow in those footsteps, but they got the right man at the helm in AJ Hinch, who was the manager of the Houston Astros in 2015, 2016, 2017, and a few years after that. And both teams finished the year with the same record. They finished 2015 and 2024 with the same record. They both won their wild card rounds and moved on to face the American League Central winner. And both of them lost the ALDS to the American League Central winner 3-2. It's insane how similar their seasons were. And I was just saying it as just kind of just how unexpected it was for them to make the playoffs. But I kind of dug into it today and I wrote an article that went that was published on Sports Illustrated today about that and how similar it was. They both, while the Detroit Tigers didn't have the rookie of the year, the Houston Astros did in 2015 and Carlos Correa, but the Detroit Tigers and Houston Astros both had left-handed pitchers that won the American League Cy Young in Dallas Keuchel for the Astros and Tariq Skubal for the Detroit Tigers. So it's just insane how Brad Pitt said it best. How can you not be romantic about baseball?
He did. He definitely said that. But that guy, it wasn't a big guy rounding first base, hitting a home run in this case. It was a bullpen just doing crazy things, with the exception of Tariq Skubal leading the charge. This is a season that they traded Jack Flaherty away. I mean, at the trade deadline, I think we all had a solid feeling like, okay, this team is going to finish the bottom of the AL Central. They picked up some really good pieces moving forward. You got to like what you've seen from this team, and they completely surprised us. And not only did they make the postseason, but they made it to the divisional series. It was just a really impressive run by Detroit. And I'm glad you brought up your article, because there was some really interesting moves and some coincidences with the past of Houston and Detroit. And I want to add one more to it, if that's the case. If you're saying there's all these coincidences, well, Houston is a team, with the exception of this past year in 2024, so maybe the torch has been passed, that they have made 8 straight ALCSs. Now, Detroit didn't make the ALCS, so you can't say that that's the case, that the torch has been passed per se. But I'm pretty sure, I think you would agree with me, that the Astros were a dynasty for about the last decade. Does that mean Detroit is well on their way? Are they on a good path to potentially being one of the next dynasties in baseball, maybe at least for the American League?
Well, like I said, they're following in that Houston Astros blueprint so far with making the postseason unexpectedly. So we'll have to see if they do, in fact, miss it in 2025, which it would not surprise me, blueprint or no blueprint. And if they do, in fact, miss the postseason in 2025, but still finish over 500, the Astros finished 2016 with 84 wins and finished in third in the American League West. So if the Detroit Tigers can finish 2025 with 84 wins and finish third in the American League Central, then I'm going to have to put some money on the Detroit Tigers to win the World Series in 2026, because it's a given at that point.
I've had the hardest time trying to project or predict, however, whatever word you want to use here, the AL Central when trying to do win totals or who's going to win a division for about the last 4 years, Troy. It has been that division that has just been a thorn in my side for the entire 2020s, it felt like. I have not guessed it right, not predicted that division right whatsoever. So when you hear my predictions for the AL Central coming up this year, maybe you should pick a different team. Maybe you should even expect them to finish last, because I have not got it right. I've done really good with every other division. I cannot get a grasp on this AL Central. Maybe it changes with a guy like AJ Hinch at the helm continuing to step up and what they've done with this young core. Why I wanted to talk about the Tigers is because they've made some interesting moves. And obviously, it's just like one of the deals that I'm talking about right off the bat is the Gleyber Torres deal. 1 year, $15 million. You know, his numbers don't really feel like it works great at Comerica. And I know Lindsay and you kind of had a conversation about this on a past episode a few days ago. I didn't have a chance to step in here. But overall, when you look at this new team, Glaber's obviously going to play second base. There's a strong possibility that you could either get a Gleyber Torres that struggles because his game doesn't play well at Comerica, or you can have a great chance of a team that is on the cusp of being a potential American League favorite, at least one of them, with a second baseman that has an OPS of over 800. That's a great sign, because you didn't have that kind of potential last season. You obviously have to make some moves. Colt Keith moving to first base is an interesting choice. It kind of leaves Spencer Torkelson on the outside looking in. What do you think about this batting lineup right now? Do you see any holes? I mean, right now the oldest player on their starting rotation, according to Fangraphs, starting batting lineup is their catcher, Jake Rogers, who take like 2 or 3 years off because of the beautiful mustache. I mean, it's a young lineup, but the team has made so much progress that they're a playoff contending team. Do you think this is another playoff contending lineup in 2025?
I do not think it's a playoff contending lineup in 2025. Oh. I think that what is going to help the Detroit Tigers the most going into 2025 is that they're really not the only team in the American League that has done essentially nothing. I mean, like you said, they did sign Gleyber Torres to a 1 year, $15 million deal. They also signed Alex Cobb to a 1 year, $15 million deal. Other than that, they've done pretty much nothing to improve themselves. Their defense is taking a step back with Gleyber Torres at second. Fangraphs has Javier Baez being a bench player. So you're not going to get the lack of production offensively at shortstop, but you're going to get the lack of defense because you're going to have Trey Sweeney. I'm not really too familiar on his defensive capabilities, but I know that Javi Baez, his calling card is his defense. He is a glove first shortstop, even if he has taken a step back from what he was in years past. But it's a team that is going to be leaning heavy on their pitching staff, and they're best bet is just the American League as a whole is going to be even weaker than it was in 2024. And we saw how weak it was just this last season. And it's going to be even more so in 2025.
See, I lean a little bit the other way. I do think this team still has what it takes to move forward. Now, I do think they caught lightning in a bottle last year. I don't think that there's no doubt about that. But when it comes to these young players, I think that they can easily take a step forward. And I think they can rise to the challenge and be one of the top teams in the American League. This team is exciting. But I think a lot of things have to go right for that to happen. There's no doubt about it. As I mentioned, the Torres deal, his numbers, his profile doesn't play good in Comerica. But there's also been some moments where, you know, Torres has just surprised us his entire career. There's been some moments where he's just been a complete dud. And if he wasn't a Yankee, he'd probably be a DFA candidate. But then there's some other moments where he has been an all-star type player, a reason why we talked about him as a top prospect, why he was the marquee player moved years ago from the Cubs to the Yankees. Like, there is reasons, you know, we still have that type of player. And I do think that there is a strong potential that we could be talking about, you know, heading into the all-star break next year, with Gleyber Torres being one of the top second basemen, hitting an OPS over 800 and helping the Tigers have the lead in AL Central. I think the biggest issue though, Troy, is the fact that the way that they got to the postseason last year was, one, they had a great platoon support. They did really good playing against lefties, righties. They worked really good off the bench. Hinch is a great manager. There's nothing – I can't take anything away from Hinch and how he does. But he even said this. On the opposite side of the ball with the pitching staff, Troy, what they had to do, the chaos pitching of utilizing the bullpen, it's not sustainable for 162 games. And you mentioned that Alex Cobb is their only pickup so far, 37-year-old Alex Cobb, which compared to everybody else on this roster, he's going to be like the grandpa of the team. He's going to be like the only one that's close to collecting an AARP card. He's going to sit in the middle of this rotation. And that's not a bad thing to say. According to Fangraphs right now, Tarek Skubal, obviously number one, your ace, Reese Olson, your second, Cobb in third. You got Casey Mize sitting at your fourth starting pitcher, and then Jackson Jobe as your to round up your rotation. And there's some youth there. There's some excitement there. But I think if we've seen anything all year long in 2024 with some of the top teams in baseball, is you need a lot more than five starting pitchers heading into a season to be successful. 162 games is a very long season. If they want to be successful, I think they have to add at least two more starting pitchers before spring.
Yeah, I 100% agree. You look around the league and you look at the Dodgers specifically, who they've signed all these guys who are some of the best pitchers in the sport when they're healthy and on the mound, and they have way more than five. They're more than likely going to be bringing in an even more still. Lindsay and I talked about it yesterday. We both expect them to bring back Clayton Kershaw still. It just hasn't happened yet because you know, he's old and they've got other things to worry about before they get around to sign an old man Kershaw. But and the Braves are a quintessential team of having multiple pitchers and pitching depth. I mean, they lost Spencer Strider last year, and Chris Sale came in and won the National League Cy Young. And then they had multiple guys that they just rotated in and out of AAA and the injured list. And they're one of the better teams in baseball at working that pitching depth. And the Phillies have really been lucky with their pitchers staying healthy for the most part, with especially their top end pitchers in Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola. And Aaron Nola, who has never been hurt throughout his career, I would add. But it's just, you have to have that pitching depth. And right now it is one of the most top-heavy rotations in baseball that the Detroit Tigers have, with Tarik Skubal and then Reese Olson and then Alex Cobb. And so that's another reason why I don't think they're going to be a playoff team in 2025.
All right, put on one of your band t-shirts here, Grateful Dead reunion tour, something like that, Troy. Let's talk two-sided when it comes to this case about potential reunions. And let's talk on the flip side of, you know, upside on a reunion. Is the potential of free agent Jack Flaherty, the one you just traded away at the trade deadline, could you see a destination of him returning to Detroit to follow Skubal once again? And would it make sense, not only for Flaherty, but for the Detroit Tigers to do something like that?
Yeah, it would make sense. That would definitely get them a lot closer to playoff contention in 2025, in my mind, adding Jack Flaherty to the mix with what he did in 2024 and then proving that he can be a postseason pitcher. He would be a great addition to this rotation and give it even just a little more length, because you're not going to get a full season of innings out of Jackson Jobe in the major leagues. He's not going to throw 162 innings. Casey Mize, I don't think he's ever thrown 162 innings in a single season. And they do have Kenta Maeda in the bullpen as kind of a swing man. So that is kind of one piece there. But, yeah, I do like the thought of Jack Flaherty signing with the Tigers and adding another depth piece to their pitching staff.
Yeah, you talk about depth pieces as well. Keiter Montero had some good outings as well last season. I think he was, what, close to a no-hitter or had a no-hitter at one point. He's a good depth piece as well. But yeah, I think Flaherty would be great to bring back. Now, I don't know if he'd want to, because he obviously wants to live on the West Coast. I think that was a huge asset. And I think he, right now, I think the exception of him and Nick Pivetta, I think Flaherty's got probably the edge over Pivetta right now, but is probably the best free agent pitcher left on the market. Maybe him returning to Detroit, a team that traded him to add more capital. And now that they've added more capital, you could bring him back almost like an Aroldis Chapman styled kind of addition that we saw years ago. I brought up that trade twice in the same episode. Isn't that crazy? but I think that'd be really fun. All right. Flip side here. This is a more fun portion, a more fun reunion. Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer are still on the table. And just for the fact of it, I mean, obviously we saw them with a decline, but Verlander still had a 4 WAR last year with his decline. Scherzer still had about a 3 WAR last year. If you can get them on a decent deal, because they're getting money almost everywhere else, especially Scherzer with their deferrals and all that good stuff, maybe a come on home, let's finish it all off in Detroit, maybe make one more run. Do you pull that trigger?
Oh, hell yeah. I'm 100% down with that. You don't need either of them to be aces anymore, and they can't be aces at this point in their career. You don't need either of them to throw 162 innings. Have them at the back of your rotation. Have a 6 or 7 man rotation and just add them in there to eat innings and finish their career out where it started.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say out of the three we just mentioned, at least one of them will be a Detroit Tiger when it's over. And I'm leaning that it won't be Flaherty. I think we'll get at least Justin Verlander or Max Scherzer back in a Detroit Tigers uniform in 2025. The baseball fan in me, and not just the Old Dominion alumni fan in me, wants it to be both Scherzer and Justin Verlander, because I'd love to see that. I mean, come on, that 2012 Detroit Tigers pitching rotation, get that back. Let's just, and obviously you can't get it all back because like Anibal Sanchez isn't pitching anymore, right? But it would be really cool to see Verlander and Scherzer hop back in the Tigers uniform when they're still doing good. And obviously Verlander has history with AJ Hinch. And obviously he has history with the Detroit Tigers. It's not a far-fetched thing to say. And we just talked about at the beginning of the show, the only pitcher that has had, the only player really that has any type of age on this team is Alex Cobb. And you bring in some veteran pitchers for this young pitching staff, show them a thing or two. Not only will those 1 year deals help your team eat innings, it could potentially help the rest of that roster build moving forward and start building that franchise, that dynasty that we're talking about, that they're trying to mimic what Houston coincidentally they have over the last 5 or 6 years. Troy, I think it'd be a really fun addition, but not only do I think it's fun, I think it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm right there with you. I do think that when it's all said and done by opening day of 2025, Justin Verlander is going to be in a Tigers uniform. Just because he seems like that kind of guy that's poetic like that. It's like, oh, this is where I got my start. I'm going to get my finish here. And Scherzer's kind of iffy, but it would be fantastic for the baseball landscape just to get those guys back in Detroit for one more year.
Something tells me that those won't happen until we're like a week out from spring training, though. So they'll be like very late additions, if that's the case. Yeah. All right, let's wrap up this show and let's wrap up 2024. because I think that this was one. First of all, thank you for joining us on this adventure as we just got started. We're only a couple months old here at First Pitch. Daily MLB Recap, we've been bringing it to you every single day with the exception of a few holidays and maybe a few internet power outages every now and again. But other than that, we have been bringing it to you, and we plan to continue to do so all the way through 2025. But before we get to 2025, let me give you one to end the season. We're entering the second half of the 2020s, Troy. Isn't that crazy? Feels like it was just 2020, just a blink of an eye ago. But with that being said, there have been a lot of games played over the last 5 years, maybe a little less than expected because of the 60-game season in 2020. But out of that, who do you think has the best record since 2020 in baseball?
Best record since 2020 in baseball. I am trying to rack my brain here and see and think of which teams had 100-plus win seasons. I'm going to say the Dodgers.
Absolutely right. This is the easy one here. Dodgers had a 458-250 record since 2020 for a win percentage of 647. Good Second God. Place, the Braves with a 590. The Dodgers over the last 5 years have had 41 more wins than the second place team in all of baseball. Dodgers have been completely killing it in the last 5 years. No doubt about that. Okay, who do you think has the worst record in all of baseball since 2020? I'll give you a hint here. Winning percentage, 439.
I want to say the Marlins, but they made the postseason. So I think they made the postseason twice in that stretch. So I don't think it's them. I'm going to say the Colorado Rockies.
Colorado Rockies is incorrect. And what's crazy about that is the Colorado Rockies are not even in the bottom five. Insane, wow. Right? Last place, the Chicago White Sox, 311 and 397. Second to last place, the Angels, 312 and 396. One game. You know, Marlins you talked about, 313, 395, only two games. Bottom three teams in baseball that are divided by two games over the last 5 years. Out of those three teams, and for the record, the Detroit Tigers, who we've been talking about all podcast, six worse over the last 5 years, 330 and 376. I think that changes in the second half of the decade. But we can't talk about them. Let's talk about the three teams to end it off here. Between the White Sox, the Angels, and the Marlins, the bottom three teams of the 2020s so far, who flips the script, and can any of them be a top 10 team record-wise in the second half of the 2020s? Can it be the White Sox, the Angels, and the Marlins? And if so, what team will it be?
I think the team that has the best chance of doing that is the Los Angeles Angels with how things stand right now. The Chicago White Sox have really no major league talent to speak of and a not much better farm. And that is the same exact case for the Miami Marlins, who continue to sell off all of their major league talent. And it's just a matter of time before Sandy Alcantara is on the move to another team and they get nothing in return for him. So I'm going to say that the Los Angeles Angels have the best bet at doing that, but I think they'll be closer to a 15th to 20th team when it's all said and done still.
Awesome. I love it. All right. And last question here to wrap up this show. We'd mentioned the Dodgers and the Braves as the top two teams in the 2020s. The round of the top five, the Houston Astros, the Tampa Bay Rays, and the New York Yankees. Out of those five, who makes the biggest step backwards? Who falls the farthest in the second half of the 2020s?
Tampa Bay Rays. They're the least set up for success. Plus, they don't really have a home to play in right now. It's going to be, in my opinion, it's going to be the Tampa Bay Rays.
I'm with you. I agree. I think that you hit both of them on the head. I would have said as well. I would not be surprised to see maybe a team like the White Sox shock us. Maybe at the end, the very end. Maybe an ownership change changes that, though. Who knows? But maybe in 2028, 2029, when we're still talking about this on First Pitch, maybe our color scheme will be different by then. But other than that, we'll still be here getting you Monday through Friday. Maybe we'll be talking about how good the White Sox are. And when we're talking about the Detroit Tigers being a potential dynasty, maybe we'll be talking about the White Sox. I don't know if we'll ever be doing that, but that might be a fun thing to keep in mind. Did you ever think we are going to be talking about teams like the Milwaukee Brewers being a top team in the leagues, or, you know, just teams, you know, just lots of conversations this last 5 years I never thought we would have in baseball. Things have really changed, and I wonder how many more deferral contracts we'll have in the next 5 years as well. Lots of things to talk about in 2025. But Troy, obviously you got some writing coming up on Sports Illustrated. Where else can they find you on social media?
Yeah, just on Twitter at Troy B Baseball. That's about it.
All right. Everybody, enjoy your New Year's. We'll see you back here next year, but don't worry. It'll only be just a few hours away. Take care. This has been First Pitch.